So, Hare Krishna, I want to welcome all of you affectionately. I'm always a little bit sorry in regards to the punctuality of beginning. It's not always so easy. The sun is there, yes. It's not always to be easy to be on time because so many things are before starting, but we are now ready. This is the Gaura Leela evening, in case you have switched on the Mayapur TV, you had the right channel. I want to greet all the devotees, especially our pilgrim who has come from a 3 months journey or
8 months,
my God, 108 or 8 months journey back. Nice to see you. Well, I think on such a journey, when you go to find yourself, then you relate when you come back different to the place where you started your journey. It may be that you see it for the first time in a different way. I want to also greet all others who have come this evening for this Gaura Leela program. I believe it will be very inspiring, interesting, because we are discussing today again about Jiva Goswami. It's the second part of that evening, the second part of Jiva Goswami's life. So, yes.
Thank you.
Krishna. Today, as I have said in the beginning, I would like to continue my discussion about C. Jiva Goswami. See, there's a reason why. No, this is held in the sweet English language, or with this lecture. Aha, if someone needs translation, ja, ist da jemand von euch, der nicht der deutschen, der englischen Sprache, also der eine Übersetzung braucht? Ihr seid alle comfortable mit mit Englisch. Das ist Schüchternheit? Schüchternheit. There's a reason why we like to talk now since a few months about the devotees of Krishna, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, it's easiest to understand the Lord if you understand those whose heart was touched by the Lord. In other words, you can see God often by the effect which he leaves in the heart of those who came in contact with him. I would like to give you an example. I may not, from this position, be able to see the sun, but I can see this by the sunlight, or by the fact that it's still bright outside, that the sun is still up. So when Krishna appears in someone's heart, he leaves his unerasable, also unauslöschbaren footprints in the heart, which stay there forever. You can see this in the truly God-realized saint. He has been touched by the feet of the Lord, who walked through his heart, and he is different than a theoretical saint. I read just yesterday, when I still was on an island giving a presentation there, before I went to bed, I read a book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he actually said that all those who had a contact with the Lord have usually the same view. They have the same outlook, the same perspective. They don't quarrel any longer about my path and your path, but they have seen him who is reached by all paths, hopefully. So therefore they have a very similar vision, very akin to each other. They are brothers of, they have become brothers of the spirit, because the Lord, who is the father of one and all, has appeared before them. So sometimes hearing about the saints, the rishis, the great devotees of the Lord, is more beneficial in understanding the Lord than hearing directly about him, because it is through the vision of these saints, the realized vision of the saints, that our eyes are also open to the beauty and the reality and the ecstasy, I should say, of the Lord. Is my point clear? Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, talk about Krishna's only complete when you talk about his devotees also, who have a relationship with him. So with this in mind, I would like to talk a little about Jiva Goswami. The first time when Jiva Goswami actually had the direct darshan or vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was when he was only 3.5 years old. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli, where his father Anupma and his uncles Rupa and Sanatan lived. And Jiva, who was very small and shy, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he felt afraid, not afraid, shy. So he hid behind a tree. I mean, we can really understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an outstanding appearance. You know, he looked really like no one else. First of all, he was 2 meters and 10 centimeters big. This was, in comparison to the small Bengalis, you know, quite outstanding. Then he had a golden complexion. There was a golden shine in him. But this shine did not just stay around him. Anyone who saw him felt really how this effulgence entered his heart, and he felt instantly enriched in love of Godhead. In other words, he became enlightened by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many interesting examples of how people... It was a simple dobi. Dobi means washerman, who was very frustrated in his life. A frustrated dobi. And one day he saw just a shadow was falling on him, and he said, "No, I don't give any donation." What had happened? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was next to him, and by the shadow, the washerman could understand that he's a renunciant. He carries a water pot and a staff, and most probably he will ask me for a donation. So he, without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying anything, he said, "No, I don't give a donation. We don't do this. We are poor." Then he heard a very sweet voice. He said, "I have come to humbly ask you for one donation only. It's not money which I want. I request you to sing the holy name of Krishna." Typical Mahaprabhu. And because there was something in this voice, something about the presence of this sannyasi, which was almost compelling. Also es hat einen fast, hat einen richtig bewegt. Huh? Therefore, the dobi, the frustrated washerman, said, "Hare Krishna." And as he chanted the holy name, it didn't remain there. He started to chant more and more and more. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already left. He went somewhere else. But in the evening, the whole village who had come to search for the frustrated washerman saw this totally ecstatic figure dancing in love of Godhead on the banks of that river where he used to wash the clothes. And that was the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would write, "Pierce through your conditioning." Die ganze bedingte Ebene durchbrochen, and anyone who came in contact with him just developed the highest states of spiritual ecstasy. He became overwhelmed with love. Imagine if he would become overwhelmed, not with a new idea, but with love. How you would feel. You would feel everything is complete now. I am at home. I am at home. My dear devotees, you are residents of the ocean of nectar. residence of transcendental love, and you are only at home when you are in that ocean. Otherwise, you are still a wandering soul looking for this. So Jiva Goswami was hiding behind this tree, looking from a safe distance at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was discussing with his uncles, Rupa and Sanatana. All of a sudden, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around and identified that little boy who was peeking behind the tree, and he pointed directly at Jiva and said, "He will be the greatest preacher who will establish Gaudiya Vaishnavism on a strong fundament of philosophy." When Jiva was only 4 years old, his father died. And although he was small, he, being the only son in the family, had to take care of his mother. I think it was a mutual caretaking. The mother must have still cooked for the little boy, but she found shelter in the understanding that I have a son and he will grow up soon, I mean after 10 years or so, and then he will be able to provide for me. So this thought gave his mother a new life, but only after another year she could not tolerate the separation of her husband and died when Jiva was now 5 years old. He was an orphan, ein Waisenkind. He stayed on in the village. The villagers saw his extraordinary qualities. He was very beautiful. He had eyes which were very, very long. He had a very strong-built chest and a slim, waist. And he was just so amazing to look at. And we do know why he was a resident of the spiritual world. He actually did not come from this world. I remember, and Gadara will know this also, once in North Germany there was a personality, she was known as Omega, something like this. And she said she came from Venus and was stranded in this human sphere, in this human body. And she gave many lectures. She was very famous. I saw her once. I mean, she really looked different. Like her face. You saw her? She really looked like an extraterrestrial. She really had that atmosphere. You were next to her and you felt, ooh, this is a person from another, could be a person from another planet. Could be. Who knows for sure? But that feeling was there. Now, Jiva Goswami was definitely a resident from this world to world. And being close to him, you did feel elevated and so on. He was, I hope I get it right, Guna Manjari? Munjari. Vilas Manjari. Vilas Manjari. So he was one of the associates of Srimati Radhika who had come for a specific purpose to this world to assist Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The village people were very supportive to him. When he was a young man, around 15 years, they encouraged him, "It's time for you to leave the village of your parents. who are dead now, it's time for you to go to Navadvip. Your uncles and your fathers have left the village for the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now time has gone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the planet. You must now take your position, you must find your place in life, and you will also, like your uncles, become a great support of the growing movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also the Lord pointed at you when you were hiding behind the tree, and he said, this is your mission. You will be a great preacher of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But you must understand, the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and the best place to understand this is if you go to the place where he had appeared, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Navadvip. At the same time, so really like a divine arrangement, at the same time, Lord Nityananda, who stayed at that time in a place called Kadaha, left the village of Kadaha to go to Navadvip. So two great personalities, Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami, going on different routes to the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. When Jiva arrived, he stayed for a night in the deserted house of Srivas Pandit. Why deserted? You know, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. He couldn't tolerate the absence, but his house was still there, and the walls of his house must have echoed with the transcendental holy name, because it was here where for 1 year Lord Chaitanya did every night a kirtan. I still remember, just as a side note, when we left the Kurfürstenanlage, what was it, 25 or so?
Five.
Kurfürstenanlage 5, where we had for several years a wonderful temple. I think Bhagavad Dharma joined the movement for Krishna consciousness there. And
we in Hanover.
In Hanover, oh yeah.
Later
you came there, and it was a wonderful temple with a regular morning program, an evening program, a lunch program. There was a lot of kirtan going on. But we left it because our movement moved on. One day, one devotee, after we had vacated the place, went up the stairs of Kurfürstenanlage Nummer 5. Gadara also went up those stairs, and when he reached the top of the stairs, he decided to become a monk. It had an influence, this place, because so much spiritual activities had been done there. So this devotee went, and he went into the house, into the area, and he saw a painter painting the walls. You know, there was a lot of incense and smoke in the walls, and a lot of lights from the Arctic lights. And he came there, this devotee, and saw the painter, and he observed something very strange. The painter sang all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he asked, Why do you think this? What the devotee did not want to say that he is a devotee. Do you know how our devotees look when they don't have dhoti? You have to look twice to see that they are devotees. I don't know. Whenever I'm in this room, something comes. I don't know if it comes from the walls or where it comes. And I have to sing this. I don't know what it is, but I must sing it. The holy place can either be a traditional holy place where the Lord appeared, or it can be a place where holy activities have been done. And then all this will not fail to exert his influence on you. So this was happening also to Jiva Goswami. He stayed in the house where the kirtans of Gauranga Mahaprabhu took place, the house of Shiva's Pandit. And the next morning, he saw this tall figure dressed in blue garments. And the figure stopped him and said, "You must be Jiva." "Yes," said Jiva Goswami. "And who are you?" "I'm the elder brother." "Nityananda!" And he embraced Lord Nityananda, and Nityananda blessed him and said, "Come, I will bring you to all the holy places, but first we must visit the home of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, where his mother Sachi is staying. And with Sachi, another direct associate of the Lord is staying." So they went to Mother Sachi, who looked very, very... I heard a description of her. She was quite thin after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left her. She was always dressed in a white sari. And she was known more or less as the mother of the Vaishnavas. She stayed on only to serve the Vaishnavas. And when Lord Nityananda came, Mother Sachi immediately cried tears of ecstasy and began cooking his favorite preparations. That was what she did. She always cooked for Chaitanya Nityananda. And as she was cooking, Nityananda or Jiva saw an old man coming and bringing vegetables and bringing everything. This old man looked extremely brilliant. His name was Ishan, the personal servant of Mother Sachi, who stayed with Mother Sachi after Gauranga Mahaprabhu had left and so on. He was the house servant, so to say, and a very, very elevated soul. Then Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami on an extensive foot journey through all the 9 islands of Navadvip. And he told Jiva Goswami, "If you want to see the spiritual reality of this place, and if you want to meet Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who stays eternally here, then there is one method which you must adopt." This is a good tip to all of those who go on pilgrimage and don't want to just make it a trekking. And it is an even better advice to those who come to the holy dham of Sri Dham Mayapur or of Vrindavan Dham. The gates through which you must walk in order to enter the holy dham, said Lord Nityananda, is Trinara Pi Sunichena taro iva sahishnuda amanina manadina kirtaniya sadarina. Become more modest or humble, like the straw in the street. See everything as an arrangement which happens. Don't protest against the arrangement of the Lord. Become tolerant, like a tree, and be ready to show others appropriate respect without demanding respect for yourself. My dear devotees, although you have heard this voice of Mahaprabhu, this verse of Mahaprabhu, maybe 1,039.5 times. Half because the other time you were half asleep during the lecture. Though it's a well-known verse, it's only when you open this verse, look at it in your daily life, to be humble and not demanding things for yourself, right and attention, when you become tolerant and stop the idea of trying to change others and the circumstances, when you become respectful, true respect is always given to the soul, and the super soul within the body of everyone, then a reality will open to you, which is so inviting and so spiritual that you will walk through a magic land, although it's the same place where you walk. So this was Nityananda, Lord Nityananda's advice to Jiva Goswami. And when they came back that night, Sachi Devi, who's very old, reached out her hand and placed it on the hand of Jiva and blessed Jiva Goswami, gave him the power of blessings. And after that, he went to all the holy places. The first day he went to some, and then to all of the holy places under the personal guidance of Nityananda. For me, this coming to Mother Sachi and receiving blessings is very, very, very essential, because I really feel the power of divine blessings is more important than our own efforts on our spiritual path. You can endeavor and endeavor and endeavor a little bit more, and even push your borders more. You're getting up more earlier, eating less, reading more, chanting more, doing everything more. But all this will not help you to really make advancement if you do not have the blessings of superior personalities. If you have the blessings of superior personalities, then everything will happen effortlessly in your spiritual life. But as long as you do not even are aware of this, it won't work so well. There's a verse, Yasya Deva Tata Guru. This verse is there. It says, by the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead only are all the meanings of the scriptures, the holy scriptures, revealed to you in your heart. I think you all have experienced the power of blessings, and you have wondered, why is everything so easy at the moment? And I think we all have experienced the time when there seems to be no blessings, and we endeavor and do efforts, and it just doesn't work. We all know this and what it is, and the blessing is only a prayer away. Noted. You just need to see, my Lord, on my own, I am limited. I'm praying to you sincerely for your kindness, for your forgiveness, for your mercy. Then it comes. So after this powerful blessing, Jiva Goswami had an extraordinary journey in his spiritual life, of which I wish to tell you a little bit. Nityananda said, go to Vrindavan, because it is there where your uncles are and they require your assistance. But before this, you need to prepare yourself for the task of laying down the fundamentals of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Go therefore to Varanasi, the town of Sanskrit learning, and learn from Madhusudan Saraswati, Vedanta, and the essence of the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Madhusudan Saraswati was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he kept Jiva Goswami for a long time in Varanasi. And when he finally said, now you are ready, you know what you need to know, Jiva Goswami was sent ready, an intellectual giant. There, I will come to this a little later. He arrived in Braja. He immediately found his uncles Rupa and Sanatan, and was engaged by in menial services. He took care of the cooking. He brought water for the brothers. He studied books on archaeology, and his main service, imagine or not, this was the time, just a little time before paper came, he had to prepare palm leaves, and he had to collect flowers and take the essence of the flowers, not maybe the fragrances and so on, the essential oils, but the colors of the flowers, and prepare flower ink from it, which the Goswamis used to write in their handwriting. They wrote on palm leaves, which needed to be prepared, and they wrote with, you can't go more ecological in the publishing process. They wrote on with flower ink, you know. how nice. Now, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami soon saw this personality is trained and engaged him in editing work. Now there's one particular scene which I would like to highlight here, which happened in Vrindavan. It was one morning. The sun was just rising. Rupa Goswami sat under the tree, and Jiva was next to him with a peacock fan. He started to move the peacock fan. It was a very slow breeze, and Rupa was still in his meditation. Rupa Goswami every day meditated a few hours, some don't know, about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he actually not just meditated about this, but he entered the pastimes in his spiritual body. You know, when I was in Russia, Hare Krishna, welcome, welcome pilgrim. come, not too late. You know, there's so many ideas nowadays about changing your body and entering into a different reality. In the time when I grew up, but I did not participate in it, there was the psychedelic movement, movement where people would take substances which changed the mind or opened the mind, and then they would enter into a different reality. Now I saw one excerpt of a movie someone showed me. There was the movie Avatar. Maybe you have some information about this movie. It was about a person who was crippled, who his legs were not working, and he went into a tank, and then there was another person, and just like him, another body, a better body, which could walk and run very fast, and he would somehow enter this body of that person and then participate in that body in the reality of that person. He could jump, he could ride on animals, and extraordinary Hollywood production. And it was very, the idea was there, if we could just leave our miserable life behind and take part in a better reality. This idea was there since mankind is there. The psychedelic drugs, there are shamans who take you on a ride, and so on. There are meditations, movement. But Rupa's meditation was of an entirely different sort. He actually entered in his original spiritual identity, the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the fulfillment of the human dream for entering a better world and so on. The dream for which many efforts have been made on many different levels. And so Jiva waited, meditated. Then a scholar came, and after some time, Rupa opened his eyes, and he saw the scholar, and he said, "Ah, Vallabha, I want to read you a verse which I have written, a verse about Krishna. And you please see if this is grammatically nicely composed." And Vallabha heard the verse, but then he said, "Can I take the manuscript with me and look at the manuscript?" And later he came back and said, "You know, there's some little problem with the grammar here." And he explained why. Now when Jiva Goswami heard this, he knew he couldn't say anything. Because Trinarapi Sunachina, more humble than the straw in the street. Straw will not speak out on something. But when the scholar went to take his noon bath in the Yamuna, Jiva Goswami was there. And when the scholar came out, he said, "What, could you just, because I'm editing the manuscript, could you just tell me why was that a grammatical mistake? I would like to know. Because of this rule and that rule and the sandhi and this and that." "Ah," said Jiva, "your knowledge of Sanskrit is like that of a child. How can you say this? This verse uses this set of rules, which are higher than the rules which you have described. You are very arrogant. This is very bad. You should..." And further on, "How can you dare to rectify and correct a personality who is so clearly on a different level like Rupa Goswami?" You know, when this was done to a scholar, when they were corrected, they were really hurt in their ego. It's like a grubby osoba, how do you say, a gross person, when he meets someone on the street and he says, and let's wrestle, the person says, wrestle, and defeats him in a wrestling on the street. He's totally hurt. What just happened to me? You know? And this scholar, Vallabha, was totally uprooted in his self-understanding and wurzelt. So he went back to Rupa and said, my God, this young scribe which you have, he knows Sanskrit. He is really amazing. He is a scholar. He corrected me. I'm very sorry that I gave my 2 cents worth of correction. Your work is much better. I don't. You are a giant. I'm a nothing. Please excuse me. So Rupa Goswami did not say anything. He folded his hands. But when Jiva said, when Jiva came back, he said, pack your things, leave Vrindavan. You are not qualified to stay in the sacred place. You are so arrogant. What does it matter if this rule or that rule is there? But Jiva did not dare to argue against. From his position it was all right. He wanted to defend his guru. He was initiated by Rupa Goswami. He did not like that some ordinary people would throw something on Rupa Goswami. But Rupa Goswami was stern. You do not know the rules of staying in a holy place. Of course, Jiva Goswami could have argued, but Nityananda told me the same thing, I know. But he left Vrindavan and he went to a place which is called Nandagat, and he stayed there at the banks of the Yamuna in a hole which was dug by a crocodile. Have you smelled inside these holes which are dug by crocodiles? They really smell terrible, and you don't know if they come back, you know. And so he stayed in this hole. He did not eat anything. He only had one mantra, Rupa, 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 Rupa. He became very thin with separation feelings. The Vrijbasis found out who he was, but then they brought him some rotis and some water, and they came back in the morning, it was still untouched. He felt so depressed, so sad, that Rupa Goswami had asked him to leave his service, that his life was ruined, and he was determined to fast till death. One day, Sanatan, the older brother of Rupa Goswami, came to Nandagra on his regular tour through Vrindavan or Braj Mandal, where he visited the different villages, and the people who were highly concerned told him, there is a young sadhu, he is not eating, he is not sleeping, he is only chanting Rupa, Rupa, Rupa. We don't know who is this Rupa. Rupa? Show me that sadhu, said Sanatana. And he found Jiva Goswami at the verge of death. The verge of death. He took him out of the cave. He was only half conscious. They put him in a basket. They had to carry him because he couldn't walk. And they nursed him back to life. And then Sanatana had people carrying this basket, this young Jiva, to Rupa Goswami, and he left the basket outside and he went to Rupa and he said, what are the three principles of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Tell me. Rupa said, Namaruchi, The devotee should develop taste in the holy name. Vaishnava seva, he should serve the Vaishnavas. And jiva daya, he should be compassionate to the jivas. There's one jiva before your door in a basket. Show him your compassion, said Sanatana. So when Rupa went out, he saw jiva in the basket. Really, you know, if you fast for a few months, that is, and Vrindavan was so hot, and there's not water. I mean, you need at least water. He saw and he embraced him and accepted him back. This episode I wanted to tell you. We went to this Nandagat. I believe possibly Bhagavad Dharma, you were with us on that journey. You were absent. We couldn't see the cave or the crocodile hole because the Yamuna has shifted so many times, and this is in the 15th century, and we didn't see a Steilküste with crocodile holes, so we didn't see. But we stopped there and we told the story. I just wanted to now come to the close. When Rupa Goswami received jiva, he felt so much affectionate love that from his own hands he carved a deity of Damodar, a small deity, so that big. You can see him now in Jaipur, and he gave him this deity of Krishna Damodar, to Jiva Goswami, who worshipped that deity until the end of his life. Hare Krishna. Jiva Goswami now, after other Goswamis had left, continued the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We wouldn't be here without Jiva Goswami. The first thing he did is to unify, in order to unify the movement, he built something like a Vishva Vaishnav Raja Sabha. Sabha means assembly of kings of the Vaishnavas, and Vishva means universal. He really took care that all the different branches of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement were not just separating from each other and doing their own thing, but he unified them in this one Vishvaraja Sabha. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and myself feel that this is significant. There are different branches of Gaudiya Vaishnavism today on the planet Earth. And unfortunately, they have not always been successful to exist happily with each other, cooperating in some effects of spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But often we have found rivalries between them. Jiva Goswami was building a society of Vishva, universal, where the kings of the Vaishnavas were integrated as being one movement, the Chaitanya movement, founded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another thing Jiva Goswami did, which is quite progressive, is he understood without making a school where the philosophy of Rupa Goswami would be taught, there would be no continuation of the movement. He called this the Rupa Vidya Pit. And soon many gurus began to send their students into this school for being trained under Jiva Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami sent Srinivas Acharya. Lokanath Goswami sent Narottam Das Thakur. And Hriday Chaitanya from sent whom? Yeah, Syamananda, he was named like this later. Duki Krishna, who became famous as Syamananda. These are the three pillars who spread Gaudiya Vaishnavism far and wide. But they needed to be trained first. This year, in the spring, I was invited to attend a meeting. It was called SGG Sannyasi Guru GBC meeting. Now all the sannyasis, all the gurus, and all the GBCs were discussing one question. The question was, will there be a Hare Krishna movement after our generation? We disciples of Prabhupada will have died. And if we want, what should be done in order to have such a movement? Yeah. And the answer which came up, arranging on the first place, is devotees will have to be encouraged to read Srila Prabhupada's books so that they know what Prabhupada wanted. Especially the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? I think you can see, if you associate daily with the thoughts of Srila Prabhupada, you will know what he thought, what he wanted. It is with this desire that I give now. I thought it was a very good point, and I'm now offering retreats both on the holy name, but then also on the Bhagavatam. I'm a really Bhagavatam man, living the Bhagavatam. And how to, the most important question for me always is how to mine the jewels. Like I don't want to just say chant Hare Krishna, I want to teach devotees how to chant with taste, and the same thing with the Bhagavatam. How to read it. There are few instructions in the Bhagavatam itself that is giving us tips how we can read and then contact Krishna on the page, in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. I remember I gave one such lecture, and then Kanupriya decided also to read regularly the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. But now it's much better. The presentation. So please. So the other thing was, there must be a leadership according to the, a good leadership, an intelligent leadership. This was the 2 points. The third point I've forgotten at the moment, but these are 2 points. But anyways, Jiva Goswami understood. Also, we need a little organization. Vishwa Vaishnav Raja Sabha, and we need also the foundation of spiritual knowledge. This is very, very important, and he did this. And then Jiva Goswami sat down scores of scribes, means with hundreds of writers who copied the works of the Bhagavatam. Verbatim, to spread the books all over over the Vaishnav world. He regularly communicated with Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, who after Nityananda's disappearance took the leadership of the Vaishnavas. Another revolutionary point. A woman took the leadership of the Hare Krishna movement. Oh, we are more revolutionary than we thought. And communicated, because she was the direct wife of Nityananda. Janava Mata had this talent to open temples, to organize huge festivals. And then Jiva Goswami quickly wrote commentaries on all the scriptures and so on. But the greatest achievement, and this shows you a little bit the genius of Jiva Goswami. I don't know if it's the greatest achievement, but one of the greatest achievements was that he joined with Raghunath Das Goswami and established the most merciful place in the universe, that is Radhakund. Listen to this story. It will tell you how organizational talent and spiritual leadership need to come together if you want to leave a mark in this world. Let me just go back here. When Raghunath Das Goswami, he stayed with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but after the disappearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he left Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan. In Raghunath's heart was only one desire. He wanted to commit suicide. He could not imagine a life without Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He had seen Gauranga Mahaprabhu every day. He had eaten the Mahaprasad from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he felt, had taken him out of the ditch of material life where ordinary people go and do something which I don't want to repeat on the internet. So he felt he had been saved. He was a worm, but now he had been made a devotee. But when Gauranga Mahaprabhu left, there were earthquakes because Mother Bhumi was so disturbed. The houses fell. It was the greatest tragedy you can imagine. I can imagine as an individual a little bit, because when Prabhupada left, I was for 1 week on the brink I was a critical case. I'm so happy that I didn't, was not in a mental institution, but I was in that state where people are brought there. I was really, my world had broken into pieces, because that's how much we oriented ourselves on Prabhupada. Now, how much Raghunath Das Goswami oriented his life on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is incomprehensible. So he wanted to climb up Govardhan Mountain because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him a Govardhan Shila, and from the highest point he wanted to jump down head first and kill himself.
Hare Krishna.
But while he was walking to Govardhan, he met Rupa and Sanatana. He said, "We had a dream. Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared and he told us you want to do a foolish thing." Sanatana said, "I also wanted to commit suicide, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me my body is not my body, it's his body. I cannot destroy someone else's property." This is what I'm telling you today. This is not your life. You have to destroy. It's not your life to destroy. You have to do seva. And then, yes, Hare Krishna. Then, this was how it was done. And you should stay at Radhakund and stay there and do bhajan, and from there everything will work out very nice. So Radhakund at that time was just a pond in the fields, in the rice fields, just like this room so big. It's the personal place where Radha and Krishna meet and spend most of the time, 6 hours every day, alone and private. It's the place where the divine couple is there. And Raghunath stayed there for many, many years. And one day he had the idea, "I would like to enlarge these kunds. Now when people come here, they have to trek through mud, whoop, 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 through the field. They get heavy trouble from the farmers. And this is not. But then he thought, have I become a materialist? If I enlarge these ponds, it will cost money. Better. I give up this sinful idea to relate to money. At the same time, a big businessman, Mr. Kapoor was his name, had gone to Badrinath, up the Himalayas, and he wanted to give a huge donation for Badri Narayan, the deity. But the deity appeared in his dream and said, don't give the donation here, I don't need anything. Go to Vrindavan, there's a sadhu who sits in a field. There are two ponds before him. These ponds, they need to be excavated. The land needs to be purchased and the ponds need to be excavated. So this businessman went and he saw Raghunath Das Goswami under a tree chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He said, I have come here to give a huge amount of money for the restoration of these two. They were like Pfützen, how do big Pfützen? You know, Pfützen. What? Puddles, like puddles. Raghunath, you know, they are totally, you must imagine, they are not working in the Time Waver company, the Goswamis, they are, have no relationship to money. You says, no money is required. No. Money is touched by materialistic people, we don't need. But the same night, the Lord appeared in Raghunath's mind, a dream, and said, I have sent you money, why do you say no to the money? And, but Raghunath was Raghunath. Jiva was a manager. He managed the whole movement. So Jiva was informed and he said, oh, there's some seva to Radha and Krishna. Wonderful. And he took that money, he got workers. No, he first bought the fields, then he took the money and got workers and heavy workers. Then they were working, started to work. And as they worked, they saw bubbling from underground three springs coming up. Then they built a huge encampment with eight steps down to get that water, and they dug out the whole place, and this is Jiva Goswami's management. He did everything from the beginning of the end of the work to the end. Jiva Goswami went one day to Agra to engage in a debate at Akbar's court. The question was, is Vaishnavism legitimate as a spiritual movement based on the Vedic background? And he argued so nicely that he put the case very strongly, and then Akbar said, what would you like to have? How can I reimburse you? You have been called by me to a debate. You have won. Now I want to give you something. And Jiva said, give me paper. Only the moguls had paper at that time. It was a new invention. And then this is how the paper thing started. They got the paper and the writings was done on paper, which is more durable, it lasts longer than palm leaves. It's a bit better writing underground or hintergrund, or even so. Jiva Goswami left a testament, and if you look at the testament, almost all of Vrindavan was in the property of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He had such a genius idea of spreading Krishna consciousness. And I want to end here. When my spiritual master was almost leaving the body, he called one night Giriraj Swami to his bed. And he said, "How will this movement go on after me?" Giriraj Swami said, "Well, we have to become pure and chanting, I guess." Prabhupada said, "Another impractical proposition. Intelligence and organization is required. Because I myself not a manager, I know Prabhupada said many things about this, not the only thing which he said about it. I wondered really why Prabhupada had said this, until I studied the life of Jiva Goswami, who had this intelligence and organization. It was him who was building the foundation of the Krishna consciousness philosophy that I have discussed in my first lecture, you know, where I described the sandarbhas and some of the content of the sandarbhas. Those who are forgotten, they might like to hear it again. But he also went through a nice process. Let me say, he really made a nice program to spread Krishna consciousness. I would like to leave all of you this evening with a thought. I'm also mentioning my internet audience. Just see this life. A young boy with 3.5 years. He has his first darshan with Mahaprabhu. Then his mother dies when he is... No, his father dies when he is 4. His mother dies when he is 5 years. He needed to be prepared. He needed to be educated. And the education was done in two ways. He went on pilgrimage and had deep spiritual experiences in Navadvip, where he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing this pilgrimage with Lord Nityananda. And then he went to Varanasi to learn the Sanskrit which he needed. Then he was there as a menial servant of his uncle. He needed also to his Rupa Goswami trained him, "Don't become proud with all your achievements." Rupa Goswami must have seen the future of Jiva Goswami. Then he became the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism movement by riding the sandarbhas, by excavating the very holy places, and by training all the great souls. My dear devotees, if you want to do something in your life, you need to also prepare yourself. You need to be trained in your life. You need to be willing to go through the training. An irresponsible life will give you only a very, let me say, ordinary grasp of life. I like the simple message of the farmer. This farmer was a simple farmer's man. He went one day on the fields and plowed deep, and he found a white stone in the earth. He went home that evening and started to experiment with the stone, and finally after 2 nights he knew he had made an elephant from the white stone, and he knew what he wanted to do. It became his new profession. He made elephants, which became very famous, until one day the king heard about it, came to him and said, "Phew, when I see this elephant, which looks so lifelike, I'm willing to give you half of the kingdom if you teach me to make an elephant like this. The farmer, however, had a simple answer. You just have to take the stone, my dear king, and take everything away which is not elephant. Then you have the perfect elephant. You don't need to give me half of the kingdom. Just take your life. Now take the stone and take everything away which is not elephant. My dear devotees, I think we all need to identify our elephant first. For that we might have to dig a little bit deeper than we ordinarily dig in our life. Go deeper by praying, reading the Bhagavatam. We had a children's lecture. We asked, what do you do if you want to come in contact with God? The children said, praying. Another said, eating prasadam. Your daughters, they are on the prasadam field. Other children gave other. I would chant the holy name. So whatever it is, get deeper in your life, then you will hit on something which is important. Then bring that out, look at it, identify your elephant, and then you will have to learn a little discipline and take away everything which is non-elephant, and here you have it. For me, Jiva Goswami is a person who went through a lot of training to do this, and I request you to lovingly say, Jiva Goswami ki! We will just end our program here. I thought to just end the program, we chant for 5 minutes together, and then we are done. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
You all very much for participating in this program. Thank you all very much. Just a very brief reminder also to the devotees who watch on the internet. We plan to have a wonderful Ratha Yatra festival in Berlin. Sadashiva, which date again? 29th of July before the Brandenburger Tor, Gate of Brandenburg, the gate to another dimension of Krishna consciousness. please, those who feel inspired to come and visit our community, you are most welcome to come to that Ratha Yatra, which, I mean, the last one was already so outstanding that I think the second one, where we are a little bit more accustomed to the arena, will be also very nice. And once again, we are still looking for donations for that wonderful festival. If you are a wealthy man, this is a good cause to give donations to Hare Krishna, Hare Bo.